consequences. With all its evil, disease, darkness, and death, it entered into this world that God had made. Is there any doubt about that? Well, let's go back and read about it again. Genesis chapter 2. By one man, sin entered into this world. There's no doubt about it. In Genesis 2, verse 15, the Lord God took the man, the only man, Adam, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, gave him this law, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's the command of God. All right, turn over one page to Genesis 3, and let's see what happened. Genesis 3, verse 6. Now the serpent tempted Eve, and he said to the woman, God said, you shall not eat of every tree. Let's go back to verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruits of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it. That's what God said. That's the law. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, but God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to their eyes, she believed the lie, Satan told her. And a tree desired to make one wise, as God. She took the fruit and did eat. Gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And when Adam ate, the eyes of them both were open. And they knew they were naked. They were holy. God made man upright, holy. They had no clothes on. They didn't know it. They didn't know anything about sin. They didn't know anything about shame or fear or doubt or hate. These emotions were not in them at all. But when they ate that forbidden fruit, their eyes of understanding were opened. And they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons to cover their sin, cover their nakedness. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves. Here's fear, shame, fear, from the presence of the Lord God among the trees, hiding from God among the trees. That's foolishness. That's ignorance. How can you hide from God? And the Lord called unto the man, Adam, and said, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice, and I was afraid. And I was naked, and I hid myself. This is a totally different man. Spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. And God said, who told you you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou shalt not eat? The man said, the woman gave it to me. Here, putting the blame on someone else. A refusal to admit that he sinned, admit his wrong. He blamed somebody else. All of these are things we understand. He didn't before he ate that tree. He didn't know anything about blaming somebody or fearing or running from God or hiding or nakedness. He didn't know any of these things. Holy. But now he's a different person. He's a fallen creature. He said, the woman, she gave it to me. The woman that you made. Now he's blaming God. This man has no understanding anymore of righteousness and holiness. It's just trying to protect himself. And the Lord said to the woman, what is it that you have done? She said, well, a serpent. He's to blame. Not me. He gave it to me and I ate. All right, he wants the consequences. So what's this word sorrow? You were reading this tonight, that word sorrow in the study when you read sorrow, sorrow, sorrow. Listen. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because you've done this, You're cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon your belly shalt you go, and dust shalt you eat all the days of your life. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And it'll bruise your head, you'll bruise his heel. And then he turned to the woman. Now listen to this. I will greatly, greatly, greatly multiply your sorrow. There's not a woman here that doesn't know something about sorrow. And it's been multiplied. Eve knew nothing about sorrow till she fell. But I'll multiply your sorrow, God said. And by conception and in sorrow, you'll bring forth children. In sorrow. Not just the bringing them forth, it'll be sorrow. Raising them will be sorrow. Watching them suffer will be sorrow. Putting them in the grave will be sorrow. Sorrow, sorrow, sorrow. All of your life. And your desire will be to your husband, and he'll rule over you. And then he said to Adam, because you've hearkened to the voice of your wife. You see, Adam wasn't deceived. He didn't listen to Satan, he listened to Eve. Eve was deceived. She was really deceived. But they didn't, their eyes weren't open when she ate. It was Adam that God gave the commandment to. Her eyes were open when he ate. When Adam fell. We'll show you that all the way through here. But Eve was not deceived. Eve was deceived. Adam was not. He did this thing willingly. He obeyed the voice of his wife. He said, you've listened to your wife. And you've eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. God, when Adam fell, not only was Adam affected by this sin, but the ground was. The trees were. Everything in creation was blighted and blotted by the fall of Adam. He ruined everything in this world with that one act against God. Cursed is the ground for your sake, because of you, and in sorrow. And you're not going to find any happiness. You women are not going to find. I know this world keeps talking about peace and happiness. It's not going to be. Sorrow, God said. This sin brought sorrow. You'll find a little happiness, some things to smile about, laugh about, rejoice in, but basically, overall, it's going to be a time of sorrow. Whole life. And you men, the ground's cursed. In sorrow, you'll eat of it all the days of your life. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. All the days of your life. And thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you'll eat the herb of the field, but in the sweat of your face you'll eat your bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Now that's it. And that's what we just read here. Wherefore by one man all that entered into this world. Sin, and the consequences of, and the sorrow of it, and the heartache, and the pain, and the sickness, and the darkness, and the cursed ground. All of these things entered into the world. And death by sin. Spiritual death. Adam was a holy man. You saw what happened to him. No longer a holy man. Now a man of flesh. And physical death. Genesis 5, turn there just a moment. Genesis 5, verse 4 and 5. Genesis 5, Adam, verse 3. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, called his name Seth. Of course, he had many sons before then, Cain, Abel, all the rest of them. And the days of Adam after he'd begotten Seth were 800 years. So that's 930 years he lived. He begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. One man, sin, entered this world, and all the consequences of it. And now watch this next line, verse 12. And so death, that spiritual death and physical death, passed upon all men. The root, you see, is Adam. Everybody comes from him.
Even Eve came out of him. I showed you that this morning. God put Adam to sleep, cut open his side, took the rib out, and made the woman. He's her head. And everything, the root is contaminated, and so the entire tree is contaminated. The seed is a sinful seed, and therefore every human being born into this world is born in sin. Now let's read that in Psalm 51. Just reconfirm these things and see what the Lord is pleased to teach us. In Psalm 51, verse 5, David's speaking here. Verse 4, he said, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when you speak and clear when you judge." Let's don't blame God. Let's don't do like Adam and Eve. "The woman you gave me." The woman said, "The serpent he beguiled me." Let's don't blame God. Let's justify God. Everything God said to Adam is justified. He deserves it. We deserve it. That's what we are. Because, verse 5 now, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin my mother conceived me." So death passed upon all men from Adam. When Eve brought forth her firstborn son, she brought forth a son that was a sinner. And look at verse 12 again in Romans 5. "For that all," now this says, "for that all have sinned." But most all of the scholars and students of the Scripture read this verse this way: "By one man sin entered this world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all sinned." When Adam sinned, we sinned. We're not only sinners by imitation. We're sinners by imputation. Sinners not only by imitation, doing like Adam, but we're sinners by imputation. We sin in him. Adam's fallen nature is in us. Adam's curse is upon us. Adam's judgment is our judgment. The whole human race is considered, regarded, fallen, sinful, condemned in Adam. And I pause there a moment, and you may run into somebody you work with or talk with, and they say, "Well, I don't believe that." Well, let me tell you something. If you don't receive imputed guilt in Adam, how can you believe imputed righteousness in Christ? A person may say, "Well, I wasn't here when Adam sinned. I wasn't here when Christ died either." So if you turn down your guilt in Adam, you've got to also say, "I won't have righteousness in Christ." Because it's the same thing. It's imputation. We're not righteous by imitation. We're righteous by imputation. Okay, now let's try it. We're not only guilty by imitation, we're guilty by imputation. When Adam sinned, we sinned. When he fell, we fell. When Christ obeyed, we obeyed. When Christ stood, we stood. Same, I'll show you that in a few moments now. Now, when does a person become a sinner? Well, verse 13. "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law." There was a law. This scripture is not saying there wasn't any law from Adam to Moses. There was a law. There was a law in the Garden of Eden. Don't eat that tree. That's a law, isn't it? That's right. Well, the unwritten law of God was from Adam to Moses. But the law was written by Moses. God gave the written law to Moses. God wrote the law on the Ten Commandments on the tables of stone and gave them to Moses. Moses gave them to the people. But that law didn't make people sinners. That law showed we were sinners. See? So when does a person become a sinner? One word will answer that question here. Verse 14. The law wasn't written between Adam and Moses, but the law existed. And the proof of it is this, and we were sinners. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. People died from Adam to Moses. That's right. Adam died. All of them died. Even, now here, watch this, even death reigned from Adam to Moses. Even over. Them that had not sinned like Adam sinned. How did Adam sin? He disobeyed a positive command. He disobeyed a positive command from God. Well, who are these people? Everybody here tonight disobeyed a positive command from God. Thou shalt not covet. We do. Thou shalt not lie. We do. Well, who are these people over which death reigned that did not sin against the positive command? Infants. Little babies born to those women in Sarah. And they bring one forth, it's still born, or it's dead. It lives a few days and it's dead, a few months. It never has disobeyed a positive command. Never did. It never did consciously or disobey God. It never did intelligently hear a law or disobey a law. But it died. Why did it die? It was a sinner. Isn't that right? There's no question about it. You can't die unless you're a sinner. The sting of death is sin. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. So he's saying here that when Adam fell, we fell. When Adam sinned, we sinned. When Adam died, we died. And his sin is our sin. And when we're born into this world as infants, never having disobeyed a positive commandment of God, we're still sinners. And that's why babies die. That's right. It's nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them, babies, that had not sinned as Adam did by disobeying a positive commandment of God. But they fell and they died. This Adam, it says here in the latter part of verse 14, he's a figure of him who was to come. Now this is so good here. Adam is a figure. What's a figure? It's a type. It's an illustration. Adam is a type or a figure of him who is to come, who was to come at that time. At that time. And Paul emphasized this over in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's turn over that. 1 Corinthians 15. This, I've really and truly, if preachers don't preach this, their folks will have a hard time understanding the gospel. Because the gospel's wrapped up in this truth right here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21. For since by one man, came death. We've been reading about that. Well, by man came also, came the resurrection of the dead, came life. As in Adam, all died. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. There's two men. Two men. Two Adams. Because it says over here, look in 1 Corinthians 15:45. Now this, 1 Corinthians 15:45. So it's written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, Christ, the second Adam, but that which is natural, Adam, the man. Afterwards, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, from the dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, such are we that are earthy. We're just like him. We're his sons. And as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly, born again, born of God, born of the Spirit, sons of God. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, his image, his sin, his nature, his corruption, his fall, his darkness, his death, thank God, by God's grace, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Think about it. So here you've got two men. First Adam, second Adam. Of the earth, Lord from heaven. In this one we fell. Two men, two federal heads, two representatives. And let me tell you this, now listen. When the Lord God created Adam and Eve out of him, the Lord God saw, regarded, and put the whole human race in that man. Black men, white men, red men, yellow men, we're all of one blood. Paul said, one father. Adam is the only man God created. He took that woman out of him and gave them children, and then children, children. But that's our start. That's our root. The whole human race in him. And when he fell, the whole human race of natural men and women fell in him. They were born in his image, bore his likeness, born rebels, born strangers, born aliens, our whole head sick, our whole heart faint, from the sole of our feet to the top of our heads, no soundness, no goodness, no righteousness, no understanding, no life, spiritual life. And under the curse of the broken law, under the judgment of an offended God, we're children of wrath, creatures of the darkness, disease, and death. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. That's that Adam. But stir it on in there, the second Adam. Like the first Adam is a man. A body has thou prepared me. God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, made in the likeness of sinful flesh. The God-man, the Lord from heaven, Jehovah our Savior. And when the Lord God gave him a body and sent him into this world, Jesus Christ our Lord, the surety of a new covenant, Almighty God saw, put, regarded all of his sheep, his elect, his church, and believers in that man Christ Jesus. As Adam's sin was ours, Christ's righteousness is ours. As Adam's rebellion is ours, Christ's restoration is ours. Now, he put us in Christ and sent Christ down here to do for us the opposite of what Adam did for us. Adam took us down and Christ took us up. Adam contaminated us and Christ cleansed us. Adam damned us and Christ saved us. That's right. In him now, I'm telling you the truth. And this was given us before the world began. Turn to Ephesians 1. This is the gospel now. This is the good news. This is not giving me something to work out and to do in order to make myself acceptable to God. This is the good news. In Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The very opposite of what we were in Adam. Having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in Christ. 2 Timothy 1, look over here. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 9, he hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before this world began. Now in Adam, as natural men, we died. In Christ, I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. In Adam, we lost our souls. David said in Psalm 23, he restoreth my soul. In Adam, we lost the way to God, the truth of God, the life of God. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to my Father but by me. In Adam, we were children of wrath. In Christ, we're children of love. All right, back to my text. Let's look at verse 16. Verse 16, Romans 5, verse 16. Now here are three things I want to show you. Start with verse 15. Romans 5, verse 15. All right, he says in verse
15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift.
What does that mean?
This is an old English, and many of you already know, but this is what that's saying. You can write this in the margin of your Bible somewhere. This is what the Lord is saying here. You can't compare the fallen Adam to the free gift of life in Christ any more you can compare this earthly life to life in glory. In other words, God's free gift of life is not at all to be compared to Adam's transgression. His grace is so far out of proportion to that fall, you can't even compare it, but we do compare it. You see what he said?
Adam, listen, he's more an antitype of Christ than he is a type.
For example, Adam's a living soul, Christ is a quickening spirit. Adam is of the earth, Christ is the Lord from heaven. Adam is our source of sin, Christ is our source of righteousness. In Adam we die, in Christ we live. That's the reason he says this, that the fall, we'll compare it, but it's not worthy to be compared. Let me give you a scripture, Romans 8:18. This will help you understand what we're saying. In Romans 8, verse 18, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Not worthy. The glory. The sufferings of this life is not worthy to be compared to that glory. And how can you compare Adam to Christ? But we'll use the comparison, because he does here. But he says, verse 15, all right, let's look at it. There are four marks of a good ministry. Four marks of a good ministry. Free grace. Grace, a free gift. Justification, a free gift. Righteousness, the free gift. Eternal life, a free gift. Did you say that? That's marks of a good ministry. Now, if a man that preaches and emphasizes free grace, the free gift of God, without works, free justification, cleansing, free righteousness, holiness, free gift of life, eternal life. Watch this here, verse 15. Not to be compared. Now, for if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace. It's a free gift. Grace is a gift. It's the gift of God. And it's by one man, Jesus Christ, and it's abounded unto many. Grace is what? It's a free gift. It's the gift of grace. It's a gift of God. It's not for sale. It's not merited. It's not earned. It's not a reward. It's a free gift. The God of all grace has given us the free gift of the grace of God. Look at the next verse. And not as it was by one that sinned, or not to be compared. His grace is not to be compared to this fall, but we'll use it. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift. The what? The free gift. The preacher, I got to do something. The free gift. But I got to pay something. The free gift. Free gift. Now, you folks know something about giving free gifts. My goodness, you're so good about it. And you'd be insulted if somebody wanted to pay you for your gift. And God says it's a free gift of many offenses under justification. Adam committed one offense and damned everybody. We committed many offenses. How many offenses? Many offenses. That's the reason it's not worthy to be compared. Adam did one thing wrong and damn the whole human race. Well, boy, if the whole human race left us there, we'd damn 2 or 3 races. Many offenses. But this free gift is of many offenses unto free justification. Now, work's in there some way. Can anybody work some works in? It's a gift of God. Free. Free gift. All right, that's grace is free. Justification is free. Look at the next verse. For if by one man's offense death reigned, and it did, by one, by him, much more,
You folks that receive abundance of grace, and
we got to have abundance. And grace is abundant. Abundant grace.
You folks that have received abundant grace, and what else?
And the gift of righteousness. The free gift of righteousness. Holiness. My holiness is the gift of God. Shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Sin has reigned because of Adam's fall, because of Christ's obedience, his precious blood, his perfect life. The free gift of righteousness is ours, and we'll reign with Christ. All right? Free grace, free justification, free righteousness. What's the next line?
Therefore,
as by the offense of one, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Now that's just condemnation. All men. All have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God and all are condemned. Now you just write it down. Write it down. It's condemned. But
even so,
by the righteousness of one, by the righteousness of one, by the obedience of one,
the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life.
Free gift, life. This is the record. God has given us free grace, free justification, free righteousness, and free life. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son.
I just think that is so clear. I don't know of any scriptures any clearer on the freeness, free grace, free justification, free righteousness, and eternal life on all in Christ. Who are these? Who's he talking about? You people that have received abundance of grace. That's who he's talking about. Let's wind it up with verse 19. And the two words I want you to look at carefully in verse 19, along with the rest, but two words important. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, one man's sin, many were made sinners. Were made sinners. Doesn't say Adam's fall put us on trial. I heard a preacher say one time, we're all on trial. The trial's over. The trial's over. We're guilty. But the law says, it says to all them that are under law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become, we're guilty. There's no trial. The law of God does, Adam's fall didn't put us on trial. By his transgression, we were made sinners. That's when everybody was made sin. All right, now look at this. So, by the obedience of one, shall many be made, be what? Made righteous. Adam's sin didn't put us on trial. And Christ's obedience didn't put us on trial. Adam's sin did not render us liable to fall. And Christ's righteousness doesn't render us able to be righteous. Adam's fall damned us. Christ's obedience saved us. Adam's fall made us sinners. And the minute my Lord obeyed the law for me and died for me, I was declared righteous. Accepted and admitted to glory in him. That's it. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Verse 20,
moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound.
The law didn't make us sinners. Our disobedience to the law didn't make us sinners. We disobeyed the law because we were sinners already. The law entered that the offense might abound. The law entered that the offense might be inexcusable. Take away all of our alibis and excuses and reveal what we are. But thank God, listen, where that sin abounded by that man's fall, grace by greater or perfect, wonderful Redeemer did much more about.
where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. Somebody said, where do you find sovereign grace in the Bible? Right there, grace reigns. That's sovereign grace right there. It reigns. But I tell you how it reigns. Through the righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That's where grace reigns in Christ. Where grace is found in Christ. Nowhere else. All right, I'm glad I studied that, and I'm glad I preached it, and I hope you're glad I did too. Hope is a blessing.